Good morning. I'm your host, Steve Damereaux, and welcome to Business Matter, where business is sexy. Leaders are like rock stars, and the sales and marketing challenges are nothing but opportunities. In this half hour, we will embrace American initiative and exceptionalism and explore how companies go to market within their own unique distribution chains. In my capacity as CEO of Incentive Solutions, I've assisted thousands of companies in the past 35 years, and I personally get excited about helping them reach their corporate objectives and product and push their product through the sales channel. It doesn't matter if you're selling condoms or computers, everybody has a love-hate relationship with their distribution, and that relationship needs to be nurtured like a fine marriage. Today's guests are an interesting example, and coincidentally, we speak of American exceptionalism. These are all companies that are foreign-owned, and these are the American subsidiaries that have grown in the United States. So today we have three guests. My first guest is Larry Constantin. He is Director of Sales and Marketing for Saint-Gobain SolarGuard. My second guest is Gary Childress, who's National Sales Manager for Honda Marine, located here in Atlanta, Georgia. And my third guest, Mike Smith, is Senior Marketing Manager of Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Cooling. So we're going to start off with Larry Constantin, and Larry works for a very interesting company that no one has ever heard of. This is a company called Saint-Gobain, and Saint-Gobain is, interestingly enough, celebrating its 350th anniversary this year. Larry, tell us a little bit about Saint-Gobain, and tell us a little bit about SolarGuard.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to talk about Saint-Gobain. So we're actually 350 years old, as you mentioned, this year, celebrating. We started in 1665, and the company started in France, and they were known for glass mirrors. So they really got their start by pouring glass mirrors that are featured to this day in the Palace of Versailles, known as the Hall of Mirrors. And the company's since grown. We have 190,000 employees. We're positioned in 64 countries. We're one of the top 100 companies in the world, and we're really a leader in sustainable habitat solutions for both construction and habitat markets. And SolarGuard actually was acquired by Saint-Gobain in 2011. We're a window film company that fits within the group, and window film is used to protect, save, and renew. Both from an architectural standpoint and an automotive standpoint. And our products are considered complementary to what Saint-Gobain's been doing with their glass and their insulation and building products business.
So you're kind of a combination of old world and new world high tech. You were telling me an interesting story the other day about your relationship with the tragedy at 9/11. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was interesting. SolarGuard produces polymetric window films for glass. It's a retrofit solution. And again, it has an energy aspect, but also a safety aspect as well. So in the case of 9/11, unfortunately, there was a lot of lives that were lost because of that tragedy. But there was a lot of lives that were spared. Some of those lives were spared as a direct result of using SolarGuard window films, specifically the safety film. Those safety films, when installed correctly with a proper attachment system, can actually keep the glass in place in the event of a bomb blast to a GSA standard, in the event of an impact and intrusion. So it's really keeping the glass shards from hurting the person sitting behind the window. The GSA has a standard for that. It's a 3A or 3B rating. Our film was installed on the Pentagon prior to the incident, and as a result, we've been informed that we saved lives with our product. The architect of the Capitol called us after the accident and asked that we come to Washington right away and secure all of the buildings on Capitol Hill. It was an unprecedented time. It was an anxious time in American history, and we were quite flattered to be chosen, but also flattered to be able to do the good work that we always knew we were doing.
And you were personally involved with that, right?
I was. I was a segment manager for the architectural space at the time, fairly new with the company. I always volunteered for new missions, and I was tapped on the shoulder to go to D.C. at that time. We spent about 6 weeks up there. We secured over 17 buildings. It was the largest safety film installation ever completed, and SolarGuard was certainly part of that. It was interesting to be mixed in with the congressional members. We were considered part of the family by the time we finished the project. We had access that was very limited to a select few, and we really felt like we were doing something for not only Congress, but for the American people.
And you had to go through security checks and... all your installers and everybody had to go through these tight security checks?
Absolutely. You know, there's several installers in the business, several thousand of our partners around the world that use SolarGuard window films. But in particular, safety film is a different dynamic. It's a much more complex product. So we had to choose the best of the best. And with our training and our product longevity and our history, we feel that we have the network. So we called on our network and said, we'd like you to come join us in Washington. We need your help. And then we went through a series of clearances and validations to not only make sure they were cleared Americans able to enter the buildings, but also fit for use, able to install the product properly.
So tell me a little bit about how you go to market. How do you sell your product?
Yeah, SolarGuard in particular is really a B2B2C company. So we're not on the shelves of a big box retailer. We're actually a professional grade window film product sold through a dedicated network of authorized mom and pop partner installers. So our partners around the world, specifically in the U.S., are independent owner operators. We like that very much, but we really consider them an extension to our family, part of our family. We spend a lot of time training these entrepreneurs. They can be a small business. They could be a few employees. They could be 20 to 100 employees. These companies work typically a geographical zone, and they have a segment specialty, whether it be automotive window films, architectural window films, or decorative window films. So in our case, we've defined those segments very well, and we have a training curriculum and a marketing curriculum to support both sides.
And so what are some of your challenges with that?
Well, window film in general has a very low awareness rate. So typically, if window film is installed properly on a building or home, you never know it's there. The awareness is very low, yet the acceptance is very high. Once you have it, and once you sit behind a window with properly installed window film, you enjoy it. You want it again, and you will buy it again. So awareness is low, acceptance is very high. On the automotive side, the misnomer in the past was automotive window films didn't last, they might turn color, they didn't have the longevity that you would expect. And that's also not how we go to market. It's not correct in the industry. So as technology has evolved, companies have also stepped up, like SolarGuard, where we've produced products that are meant to last, outlast their warranty term, and really do exactly what we say they're going to do. So the challenge overall is that the American people, less than 10% of them, understand what window film actually is. Once they try it, they're a believer for life. So our challenge always is getting the message out there and getting it out there in a way that can cascade and scale.
So in the interest of clarity, I just also have to say that Lawrence is a client of Incentive Solutions, and I thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
So when you're doing incentives, what are you trying to achieve within your incentives? Because your website's very good, very up-to-date, very modern.
I appreciate that. So within our group, as I mentioned, all of our customers are independent partners. So they have a choice in which product they use, and we hope that they choose SolarGuard, and we think we earn that every day. And a few years back, we said, these are really extensions to our business. These customers are really not customers, they're partners, and we want to give back to them. So we created an incentive program using your company, Steve, to create loyalty and retention programs to give back. We didn't charge them for it. We have several thousand of our customers using your program today. And it's a way for these smaller operators that are working very hard throughout the year to have a savings account, if you will, a nice incentive for a vacation, gifts for their employees, gifts for their family. And they really like it. It's really made a difference. And what was nice about it is we didn't charge them for it. We didn't raise the price to cover the cost. We did it because we thought it was the right thing to do, and it's paying back.
So it's all a question of engagement and creating a culture of family and mutual respect and beneficial aspects behind an incentive program.
Absolutely. I mean, our customers' average tenure with us is over 20 years.
Well, that's high.
They're not new. And our company's been around for over 40 years, SolarGuard in particular. We really view these folks as friends, and we treat them that way. And we wanted to make sure that they were recognized for their business.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. Lawrence actually just flew in from Belgium, so he might have a little bit of jet lag. So our next guest is Gary Childress. Gary is National Sales Manager of Honda Marine. And I consider myself to be somewhat of a gearhead. Honda's been a client of mine for about 20 years now. And it's really interesting to see companies grow here in the United States. Honda's interesting claim to fame is, and everybody thinks of Honda in terms of reliability and engineering. You think of their automobiles, never die, always have the highest satisfaction ratio. Their motorcycles. I have a couple of motorcycles, Hondas myself. But I'm also a happy Honda Marine client. And I've got a 12-year-old Honda motor that just won't die. The interesting, Honda was the first company to have a four-cycle motor in the United States.
That's correct. And appreciate you having us on the show this morning, Steve. Honda Marine's been in business for over 50 years, producing four-stroke technology that's, like you mentioned, built off of our automotive platform, where we have millions of cars on the road with dependable, reliable performance. And we're packing that history and reliability into our Marine product every day. So we're excited here at Honda Marine about the future of our business segment. We had some struggles during the what people refer to as the Lehman shock or downturn of the economy, and we are definitely making strides back in a positive direction. The industry overall is growing and blossoming, and we're on the forefront of technology launching that in our product line, and we're excited about where the future is.
So here, and you also are in Atlanta here, where we're broadcasting today. And within that, you also have Honda engines and power equipment, which is lawnmowers and pumps and things of that nature. And so I guess the basic concept is you're taking what in essence is a fantastic motor, a fantastic engine that has a huge following, and you're putting all these applications to it, namely marine, and you're coming out with some new big motors now, aren't you?
Yeah, we just recently launched in January our new BF250 IST product. It's a intelligent shift and throttle. It's drive by wire, so very smooth operation, very successful so far in the marketplace. Any of our customers, both business and or end users that have experienced it, are definitely excited about the performance of the product, the way it operates in and out of gear, and the way it operates on the water. It's very exhilarating, and it makes you quickly understand the quality that goes behind the engineering process at Honda, the time that we take to make sure that it is correct for the marketplace, it's correct for the customer, and We're very excited about the possibilities of this product moving into this year, 2015 and beyond.
And so your challenge is, just like Lawrence, is you operate through dealers, and you also do OEM. And so your challenge is to educate those dealers on the features and benefits and the advantages that the Honda motor has over your competitors, and to create that form of engagement also, right?
That is. It's a challenge, but yet we have, we're the stateside sales group here based out of Alpharetta. We're responsible for all 48 states, including the Caribbean and Latin America markets. And it's a challenge to engage those dealers and make sure they're properly trained. But we have great systems where we do a lot of that electronically. And we have a great sales team that gets out, knocks on the doors of our customers, and speaks to our OEM clients and our dealer clients about the product line, and does face-to-face training and still engages at that relationship level. And that's really important. History part of Honda, one of the things we talk about a lot is going at the spot. And our culture at the company is to go to the spot and figure out what's going on and engage those customers on a personal level.
Wow, that's interesting. So me running a incentive marketing company, the financial meltdown happened in 2008, you know, when my clients got a cold, we got pneumonia. And in your particular case on the marine side, basically a marine motor, unless I mean you do like the Coast Guard and things of that nature, and that's a very consistent demand, but the pleasure demand is pretty much discretionary income, and that was a challenge for you, wasn't it?
Very much of a challenge. I mean, when Lehman shock, and we refer to it as Lehman shock in our culture, when the downturn of the market, it's very difficult on the entire marine business. It very much got deflated. It came off of it's been trending off some historical highs for quite some years, but it really took a nosedive during that time period. Now the industry, from all the reports coming from NMMA, is showing that the industry's on a rebound. Boat sales month over month is increasing. People have more discretionary income, and are beginning to go out and buy those crafts for pleasure and, you know, repowering their vessels. And we're very much out there engaged trying to get those customers to repower with Honda, of course.
Now, is it back up to 2007 levels or has it not gotten there yet?
It's very close. Our consumers are... this past year, I've attended more boat shows. We're out in force. Most of the boat shows that I've been seeing data on come back from the NMMA is showing that attendance was at a record high across most of those boat shows throughout the marketplace. So it looks like we're mostly out of the woods and heading in the right direction for all the segments that support all the peripherals of going out and doing recreational boating.
Now, you're also somewhat dependent, if I remember correctly, on the valuation of the dollar versus the yen. And that's an advantage to you right now, isn't it?
Well, not so much on our side. I mean, we do notice it, but we're an American-based company, so we're taking everything from the U.S. dollar standpoint. But it does help, since we're a global company. We're all the time experiencing currency fluctuation from factory standpoint, from engineering standpoint, from a sales standpoint. So it's hard to manipulate that game very much to any advantage because there's so much volatility going on in the marketplace across those different currency lines. But Honda Marine's been in business for over 50 years, and we have no questions about where we're going to be in the next 50. We're steaming forward and making great product, and we've got great engineers behind us.
Well, just on a personal basis, whenever you go into their lobby and you see all these engines and so forth, I'm like a kid in a candy store. It's just beautiful, beautiful items there. They are a work of art. Truly, those motors are a work of art there.
They are. We have some great looking product that's enjoyable just to stand around and look at. It's our team takes considerable time making sure that they are. They look well, they fit well, they work well, and that's why Honda's a top 20 brand in the world.
Very fine, very fine. Gary Childress with Honda Marine. Thank you very much, Gary. Next up is Michael Smith. Michael, I've known Michael for 20 years, and Michael is Senior Marketing Manager at Mitsubishi Electric, also a very interesting story. And this is frankly, a technological revolution. And Michael also, by the way, is a fantastic singer and is part of the Gwinnett County Choral Guild. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's something that I do enjoy. We do multiple performances throughout the year, typically every season.
So tell us a little bit. Now, that's a big statement on my part that it's a technological revolution, but once again, being the gearhead that I am, I think this is really cool also. What makes your product so much better in what is probably a very traditional heating and air conditioning business?
Yeah, so the traditional market, the overall HVAC business is about $40 billion. So what we bring is a solution that has been embraced already by Europe and Asia. Essentially, wouldn't make sense to turn on the water in one room and have it turn on everywhere else in your home. However, that's what today's homeowners' options are for air conditioning. A centralized system that when they're ready to air condition their bedroom at night or their home office during the day, the rest of the house is also getting air conditioning. So it's a tremendous waste for homeowners. So we bring a solution that basically takes a single zone up to every zone of the home and controls them independently.
And it's also they're also really quiet. I know what you're speaking of because I'm an empty nester now and I've got this big house and it just irritates me here in Georgia in August that I've got to air condition this entire house when all I want to do is keep the bedroom cool. So and it takes time. And of course when you get your power bill you really appreciate that,
Exactly.
But you guys. Now, when I first darkened your door 20 years ago, how many employees were there?
We had 27 employees, and we were about $17 million in business. We are a small segment of the HVAC industry, growing very rapidly. But certainly, since then, that was 20 years ago, as you mentioned, and we're now just over $500 million in revenue and representing a larger share of Mitsubishi Electric Corporate's $40 billion total revenue.
Well, when you go into your office, you can sense that there's an energy when you're just waiting in the lobby or whatever, that you guys are on a roll. And this warehouse, and I understand that this is just one of many warehouses, but if you live in Atlanta and you're heading up north on 85, you see this warehouse. It is absolutely massive. How big is this warehouse? Put it in context.
It's about 500,000 square feet of space, and this is our fourth building, our fourth move within the Gwinnett County area, and we have continued to exponentially increase our warehouse size and space. We also have about 35,000 feet of frontage office, and we're employing about 400 people total, and about 200 of those from the Gwinnett County area, so we're very pleased with our ability to grow within Georgia and within Gwinnett County and support a North American business from our corporate office here.
So how many football fields would this warehouse be?
Don't make me do the math. I think it's about three or so.
Three or so
yeah.
Football fields.
Right.
So you also have a challenge in the same sense that Lawrence has a technical product and has to keep his dealers updated on the technical aspect of the product, the features and benefits. What are the salient differences between your product and the others? Gary Childress with Honda Marine also has to emphasize the superiority of their product. You also have a whole new business segment. Mm-hmm. So you have to train them as to the viability of the business segment. And right now, your aspect of the business segment versus ducted, what mm-hmm. most Americans think of as heating and air conditioning, what's the ratio, ducted versus non-ducted?
Oh, gosh. And on many levels, Lawrence and I are experiencing very similar challenges in our business. So we talk about a ratio, then essentially our segment of the total HVAC business is about 5%. So when you look at the overall awareness for consumers, they are accustomed to ducted systems and on supporting that business for a number of years, contractors have been investing in their business supporting ducted type systems, sheet metal bending equipment and all that type of industry training that's geared around ducted type systems. So we're making a lot of progress with technical training centers around the country, technical trade schools, and introducing our ductless and zoning type concepts into that early training so that we could begin to impact a lot more of the younger generation coming out to offer this equipment on a more frequent and regular basis.
So your challenge is very multifaceted in the sense because you are the manufacturer and then you distribute through distributors.
Correct.
And they then sell to the respective contractors or dealers.
That's correct, yeah. So our three-step distribution channel, we have wholesale distribution throughout the country. There's about 200 great business owners, independent wholesale business owners across the country. Each of them represent about five branches. So we've got about 1,000 branches of wholesale distribution with product availability. Much like Lawrence, we have an install base that are independent business owners. So they consciously make a choice to install our equipment over their standard type equipment. So we do have a tremendous responsibility to train these contractors, but also incentivize them to give our types of systems more of a front mind consideration versus what their standard offerings
are. So your challenge is one, you have to convince the distributor that there's going to be demand. Yeah. You have to train that distributor sales rep as to the features and benefits mm-hmm. so they then can explain that to the respective contractors. And of course, it's always what's in it for me.
Right.
And then at 5%, I know I wrote a blog a couple of months ago. The blog was, are you irrelevant to your distribution? And if you are under 10% of a distributor's volume, they're not going to be thinking about you right up front. So you have to differentiate yourself and show them that this is a trend, that they're going to make a reasonable profit and return by basically getting into a new aspect of the business.
We do that.
So you then also have to then have a pull-through marketing aspect, because you have to go after the consumers, because the consumers have to be aware of this. And then you also have to go after the respective contractors when you send them leads. So that's an interesting sticky wicket you've got there.
It is. I would say that I'm wearing multiple hats in terms of influencing the channel to give our situation, our solutions more top of mind. But also, we do have a large national campaign on television to raise awareness with consumers. Currently, awareness is about 4% overall of all consumers when you stop them on the street and ask them who makes air conditioning equipment. So we have a tremendous upside potential. If you look at the number of homes in the United States that have a hot spot or cold spot within their home, regardless if they have a system or not, the business opportunity is about $22 billion total just to go in to take care of those individual rooms that are hot or cold. So when we talk about opportunities for our distribution channel, we do a good job of helping them understand where those opportunities are and helping train contractors to understand how to go after those opportunities. We have a co-op program as well. So we tie our dealer advertising programs into our national advertising with similar messaging so that we can leverage more direct lead generation opportunities at the local level while we're creating national awareness. So
what you're saying is, a consumer sees your TV ad, then does like I do, goes to Google, and I think I can speak honestly for both Honda and SolarGuard and Mitsubishi. You guys are all on the top of the food chain in terms of performance and quality. You're not going to be the cheapest in the market, okay?
Right.
But you're going to be the best in the market. So your challenge is to get the consumer to ask for your product and then get that lead to that contractor so that they can get there as soon as possible and service that consumer.
It is exactly. And we've gone out very early on and discovered what does the consumer want, and they want to be comfortable in every room. So it's a very basic need. However, they only have one solution during the summer that might help them there, and that's a window unit. So our customer tends to be more intellectual, a bit more interested in new ways to create comfort for their homes, and we're really going after them with messaging that is tailored to them. And tying that into our co-op programs, we offer that same type of message and assets to our contractors.
So the product actually pays for itself, right?
Oh, absolutely. When you're only conditioning one room in the home or a few rooms in the home that you're using at a time, there are savings right there. There's also an industry recognized 30% of energy loss through ductwork. So right off the bat, before we even turn our systems on, we're saving the consumer energy. Our system's rating up to 30.5 SEER, also with the air handler being directly within the space versus having to distribute large volumes of air across the home. With the fan directly in the space, that also creates what we call a delivered SEER. The actual SEER of 30 is delivered into your home. No duct loss. What you see is what you get. Essentially, that creates a great payback scenario over time.
Interesting. So you just sponsored a big golf tournament here in Atlanta?
Right. We are the presenting sponsor of the Greater Gwinnett Championship at TPC Sugarloaf. And we just came off of a successful tournament this past weekend. Olin Brown won the tournament at 13 under.
Wow.
So he's a very solid performer and came out and tamed Sugarloaf even in those wet conditions.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, Larry, let's talk a little bit about some of your challenges here. You were talking about international, so you also export out of the United States also?
Yeah, Solarguard is selling product in 120 countries. We've been internationally placed for over 30 years. We're proud to say that.
Interesting. And how's the dollar affected you in respect to that?
Well, similar to my friends here at the table, we sell and collect in multiple currencies. So what you gain on one side, you might lose on another. We report ultimately in euros, but we are a U.S. subsidiary. So when the dollar is strong, that helps us. Certainly other currencies are not performing like we would prefer. So you take a adjustment on that side.
Yes, yeah. I understand. Well, once again, to be totally clear, I'm very fortunate. All three of these gentlemen are clients of Incentive Solutions. I've been doing this for 35 years, and I love analyzing corporate cultures, and I can honestly say that these three companies are all movers and shakers. I think if we do this program in 5 years and we all come back again for an anniversary, Michael's market share is going to be much higher, all right, and Lawrence with Solar Gardens is going to be much higher, and Honda Marine is just going to keep on growing because people recognize that when they buy a Honda, it's going to last forever. So that's all the time we have now. I'd like to thank Michael Smith, Lawrence Constantin, and Gary Childress. And this is Steve Damereau with Business Matters. Thank you very much.